Would you turn to Romans 12? In a kingdom, there's always a king. Amen? It wouldn't be a kingdom without a king. And in the kingdom, there are citizens. And the kingdom always has a constitution and governing laws to protect the people. The constitution is what the king is promising to his people. The governing laws are what put people in position so they can access all the king's treasures. Amen? Of his constitution and what he's promising them. That's why the Bible says, bless the Lord all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not his benefits. Amen? His benefits. Those benefits are associated with the king's constitution, his promises to you. And as long as you're falling and you're in alignment with the governing laws of the kingdom of God, you have access to everything the king has. And there is a helper that he sends to us called the governor. Oh, hallelujah. And the governor, he's God himself. But he's God the Spirit. We call the Spirit of Christ. And we've talked about the Spirit of Christ. Furubukushata kia. In Romans 12, please. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 1 and 2, would you read it with me? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility. Hello. Every day we are to present our spirit, soul, and bodies, our minds, our memories, our emotions, imaginations, conscience, subconscious, attitude, motive, and desires to him. In other words, anything that you have, give it up. Hello? It ain't yours anyways. Everything that you surrender to him, he returns anointed. Did you get it? Now, I'm not talking about ungodly things. He'll never return ungodly things anointed. What's cursed is cursed. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 2, and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, renew your mind. In other words, changing our way of thoughts, our thought patterns. Changing your ways of responding to things. Changing your ways from worldliness to godliness. In other words, from citizens of darkness to citizens of light. In other words, everything right now, God is requiring that we change things. So when somebody offends you, you don't react. You forgive. Amen? Now you talk into the world when somebody, you know, does something to them, they want to, rah! Amen? They want to, you know, do damage. They want harm. They want revenge. They want it all. But in the kingdom of God, we forgive. Now, it doesn't mean we're stupid and going to hang out with it, right? I mean, you got to use wisdom. The Bible says, depart from evil. The Bible says, depart from a brother who's not walking according to the doctrine of the Lord. Amen? Like, it's amazing how many people still hang around with brothers that are walking ungodly, thinking they're going to save them and help them when they're getting bit by the serpents that they're carrying. And then they struggle and wonder why they got problems and they don't follow according to the rules or the laws of the kingdom. Hello? Changing your way of thoughts from ignorance of the kingdom to the wisdom of the kingdom. Amen? It's our responsibility to present ourselves, and it's our responsibility to renew our minds. Now, your carnal mind can't be renewed. You got to always keep slapping that thing around. Amen? But the mind of Christ is, in other words, when you yield up your carnal mind, you're taking hold of the mind of Christ. Amen? That's why most of the time your first reaction is according to the flesh. Then you got to pull the reins back and go, ooh, that ain't God. That thought's not God. Right? you know, what I was about to speak wasn't God. So you pulled the reins in, didn't you? Amen. And you allowed the mind of Christ to manifest. Amen. There's an area where we've got to grow in. And that's the area I want to talk about tonight. And it's discerning the governor's voice. Everybody say, I need to discern the governor's voice. Go to Titus 3. Hallelujah. Discern the governor's voice. Titus 3. In verse 3. Would you read it with me, please? Titus 3, verse 3. Is everybody there? It's under the T's, Titus. Glory. Come on, are you ready? For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm constantly. Say affirm.
Affirm.
Constantly. That means never let up on that.
Amen.
That those who have believed, hello, believed, you see that word believed? It has an ED on it, doesn't it? Hello. Believed.
Hallelujah.
Not believe. Believed.
Amen.
Right? We have already believed, so we're bringing those things of what Christ has done 2,000 years ago into the present now, aren't we?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Say careful.
Careful.
To maintain
good works.
These things are good and profitable to men. They are what?
Good
and profitable to men, aren't they? So it's a regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, He is the governor of the kingdom of God. And it's important that when He makes announcements, you understand it.
Amen.
Amen? Many times we miss the announcements of the governor. And sometimes He'll make a corporate announcement besides a personal announcement. Sometimes the announcement will be coming right through the body of Christ. You may hear the message of the governor in a home church and go visit somewhere else and you'll hear it in the same way. Because it's the governor that's speaking to His people. He'll speak to His prophets also to begin to move people in position. Now let me show you something. Most of the time we first hear it through teachings, prophetic, hello, all right? And the purpose of that, and I want everybody to listen, is to get us in position. In other words, if you're expecting a phone call, you're listening for it, aren't you? You got to look at something and how God operates in these areas. He doesn't want His children to miss anything. Amen? And the Bible says that He desires that no one perish. So what He does is He gets us in position to listen or to hear. Amen? What are we trying to hear? We're trying to hear what the Spirit is saying now. What He's saying when?
Now.
Okay. Good. Hallelujah. Okay. So we see that the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, He is the governor. And what He wants us to do, He wants to bring our thinking to the arena of our like-mindedness so that our thinking is according to the kingdom ethics and according to the desires of the King. Are you with me? The only way that will happen is if you're in position. So positioning is essential, isn't it?
Amen.
Good. Go to John 15. Now, the governor is always going to assist us in kingdom living, isn't he? He's going to assist you in kingdom thinking. And in John 15, in verse 26, I believe. Yeah, sounds good. Hallelujah. John 15. You know, so many times I really believe that we're not in position to listen or to hear. Because sometimes God has something specifically for you, and so he speaks to the body to get them positioned. If you think about this, what did Jesus do? He sent someone and said, I'll gather everybody and I'll meet you here. Amen? And then people would start flocking to one area. And then he would appear to them and speak, wouldn't he? Amen? Do you remember when Jesus walked on the earth after he rose from the dead for 40 days? People began to follow him because of his fame. Hello? But then when he rose from the dead, he would gather his disciples and he'd tell them, go here or go there. And then eventually he just started popping up everywhere. You know? But he was, every time he appeared, he had something to say, didn't he? There was a message. What were they doing? They were hearing the voice of the Lord, weren't they? Now go to John 15 and verse 26. Is everybody there? But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send from you from where? From the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In other words, he will give you witness. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So when God is speaking to us, there is always a witness within you. In other words, the anointing in you is going to witness to the voice of the anointer. If it's not the right voice of the anointer, there won't be a witness. Now, you got to be careful of a false witness because emotions are not a witness. Okay, let's go a little further. Go to 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will what? Convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Three areas he's going to do. He's going to convict where? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Those are three areas that the governor of the Holy Spirit convicts us. He does not condemn us. That's not God. When there is condemnation involved, that's not the Lord. The Lord chastens his children, doesn't condemn them. Amen? Did you ever make a mistake and get condemned to death? And you repented for a month and it's still not gone? That's the devil. Okay. In verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not believe in him. Right? And of what? And of righteousness. Because what? Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and what? And he will declare it to you. Now, the Helper, the Comforter, the truth is sent by the Father. He is the governor of the kingdom. He is the Spirit of Christ. He will teach. He will guide. He will protect. He will lead. He will establish. And he will perfect all things pertaining to kingdom living. Do you want me to repeat that? Okay. The governor of the kingdom, the Spirit of Christ, he will teach, he will guide, he will protect, he will lead, he will establish, and he will perfect all truth pertaining to kingdom living. The governor acts only according to the word of the king. I want to repeat that. The governor acts only according to the word of the king. Not according to your desires, your emotions, your thoughts, your purposes or assumptions, or your needs. Only to the word of the king. Are you with me? The governor interprets the king's desires so that our desires or wants won't interfere with his. Do I need to repeat that one again? The governor interprets the king's desires so that our desires or wants won't interfere with his. He wants us to become like-hearted. And he protects us from error. Everybody got that? He wants us to become like-hearted and he protects us from error. Not the air you breathe, okay? E-R-R-O-R. Error. From a bonehead mistake. How about that? Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. I just want to Ezekiel 36 and 23. And the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and he said, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am, what? Hallowed in you before their eyes. In other words, where he is reverenced in you. And what's he going to do? And he says, and I'll take you among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. What's your own land? The kingdom. Amen? Bring you into citizenship of the kingdom of God. Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. So idols promote filthiness. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and what? Cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. In other words, you all have such a desire to do them no matter what's going on. Now, of course, we know a stony heart is a rebellious heart. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. But it all starts in positioning, doesn't it? Amen. See, so now he's saying, listen, I'm going to put my governor in you to cause you to obey my statutes. In other words, he's going to interpret the law of God. He's going to interpret the voice of the Lord. Are you with me? In other words, when God speaks, he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you what God is saying. He's going to tell you things to come. He's going to tell you. But you must be in position to be able to hear. Okay. The governor will cause us to walk. Now listen. He, the governor, enforces the word from the king. He enforces it. That's why he's going to cause you to walk. Why? Because he is the enforcer of the word of God. Yeah. Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Glory. I'll lift your hands to heaven and take a drink, will you? Thank you, Master. Refresh us, fill us to overflowing. Quicken us, Holy Spirit. Quicken us. In Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 7, Would you read it with me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, what's he says? Today, if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as in rebellion, in a day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath they shall what? Not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Amen. So, hear his voice or discern the voice of the king brought forth by the governor. Are you with me? Okay. Now go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Glorious. Glorious. That's how they say it in the mountains. Glorious. Then it echoes through all the valleys. Hallelujah. In Psalm 23, is everybody there? Start at verse 1, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, hallelujah. He makes me to lie down in grace. Sounds like he causes you. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Hello. Now listen. All of that's talking about the governor. Directed by the shepherd. Are you with me? Okay, now look at it. The first verse is the most important. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because he causes me or enforces the word of the king to what? Lead me, to guide me, to prosper me, to guide me in healing, to heal me, to deliver me. He's enforcing his word, isn't he? Amen? So there should be no want or no lack. Amen. If you are in position to hear the voice of the governor. Are you with me? Now listen. He said, not lack because of the leading, right? Want is a result of the fear of lack. Think about it. Want is a result of the fear of lack. In other words, I don't have something, so I'm going to produce a want. You got it? Now, if you don't have something and you're going to produce a want, then what we're saying is, I'm in fear. Are you getting this? Okay. Now, hallelujah. I want to go a little bit further. Now, want is motivated by a desire. Are you got it? Come on, write this down. Want is motivated by desire. Desire is motivated by emotion. Emotion is motivated by an impression. An impression is motivated by deception or a false need. And a deception or false need is motivated by a voice. Come on. Do I need to repeat this? Want is motivated by a desire. Desire is motivated by emotion or feeling.
Ah, I need that. It'll make me feel so good.
And that emotional feeling is motivated by an impression. Oh, I'm impressed with something. Oh. An impression is motivated by a deception or a false need. Man, I really need that. And the motive and deception or false need is motivated by a voice. The Lord is my shepherd, I won't lack, so I won't want. Amen? Does everybody get it? Go to 1 Timothy 4. So you think it's important that we can discern the governor's voice? Amen. You'll be wanting something that you don't need. Now, and you'll believe it's God. Oh, God gave me that. You kidding? I'll kill for that. I need that feeling. Come on, did you ever notice that when you begin to think about food, you begin your mouth begins to water? You know? Where do you think that was motivated by? You know, this big chocolate chip cookies with a gazillion calories gonna clog your left artery and you desire it so badly. I've got to have it. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody at 1 Timothy chapter 4? Hallelujah. Would you read this with me? Sure got hot in here. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Hello. And what are they going to be doing? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, right? Why? Because they're going to hear a voice, aren't they? They're going to heed the deceiving spirit. They're going to fall from position. That's called falling from faith. Is when we fall from position. Not understanding the governor's voice. Hello. Listen, when you don't understand the governor's voice, it promotes own desires. But I'm telling you what. And then people call it leading or led by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I've been led by the Spirit to fulfill this feeling. Come on. The governor does not misinterpret the word from the king. Never. Too many people are led by how they feel or what they think. God never puts you in debt. Hello? God never interrupts himself or he wouldn't be God. He never causes fear. He never causes anxiety or stress. He never causes division or confusion. That's why we must discern the governor's voice. None of these things will be manifested. He doesn't promote division, does he, or strife. That's why it's so important. He doesn't promote addiction, does he? He doesn't promote lust. He doesn't promote filthy language. He doesn't promote anger or hatred or jealousy or any works of the flesh. He doesn't promote any of those things. But there are so many people who they will swear, God told me. But you know what? They never tested it. And then they're still trying to push what isn't God. And it always causes destruction. it always causes problems because it's not God. Amen? Let me share with you. It promotes soulish ministry. Why? Because it's led by your feelings. Well, this is what I just feel like doing. But I really believe I'm led by the Lord. It comes with a partial truth, but not the whole truth. Amen? I remember when I was, had t-shirts made up and it had the face of Jesus and stuff. You know, I was zealous for the Lord. Yes! And I was on the streets selling them on corners and I ended up giving them all away. And I just thought I was expanding the kingdom of God. And some people might have got touched, but I realized later it wasn't God. See, just because you're doing things for God doesn't mean God is doing them through you. See, and this is what we must learn. This is a process of learning. That's why babies get all zealous for the Lord. And yes, yes. I mean, think about how many stupid things you did when you first got saved. How many times you were so zealous for the Lord, you went and pushed everybody away. Because you didn't know God's timing. You know why? Because you didn't know His voice. Are you with me? We were doing things thinking we heard everything from God. We were telling people prophecies and we were saying all kinds of goofy things. Come on. Man, we could have sworn it was God. Woohoo! Felt good. Hello? It felt good. Oh, that felt good. But there was really not a witness because we didn't know what the witness meant. We only were led by an emotion, not the witness. Because the witness is a manifestation of such peace through the body. There is no fear. There is nothing. There is no self-promotion. There is no selfish ambition. Nothing has to do with you. Amen? It has to do with Him. Oh, yeah, whatever, my $20 allowance a week, you know, whatever I spent, you know, give away or whatever. You know, yes. And now you may think, now, Anders bought Bibles, went and gave them all away. Well, the people couldn't read them. Come on. Do you understand that? But I really believed I was doing the right thing of God. And now, it wasn't wrong, was it? But it wasn't right. Because if it wasn't ordained by the Lord, it's not anointed. Oh, we did all kinds. It wasn't until I began to settle and listen. Settle. And you know why? Because you had to get positioned. And it starts with prayer. If you do not pray in the morning, if you do not pray, you will never be positioned. And you'll never interpret what God is saying. Because you'll always miss what the governor is trying to tell you. And you'll always be led by emotion. But it came to a point then when the Lord would share with me, come on, I want you to go here. And there was no ifs or buts. It was a witness in my spirit. I know I got to go. It was like He just showed up and said, come on. I said, okay. Then He'd have me go down the road and pick up a hitchhiker or something and bring him home and feed him and whatever. And then I would hear later, man, I would get letters from some people that were picked up and they were going in other states and so forth. All kinds of wild things, you know. But when it's the voice of God, it's successful. It doesn't mean that there won't be resistance. Hello? Are you with me? It doesn't mean that the devil is going to try to resist. Because the devil knows when it's God too. Amen. But you must discern that. By misinterpreting the voice of the governor, the deceiving spirits will always promote soulish ministry, partial truth. Part of the voice is true, but leads to wrong desires that causes self to be affected. In other words, it's a promotion of self. And you can reason all you want in your head, but it's not God. Go to Luke 15. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remember we talked before, the worst thing to be is successful on the wrong assignment. And there are many people out there who are successful on the wrong assignment. Amen. In Luke 15, verse 11. Is everybody there? Then Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with worldly living. And when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and it began to be in what? Want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself or his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now listen. His son went on his own desire, led by an impression of a false need or belief. It caused him to fall out of position. He was disrespectful to his father, wasn't he? And as for something out of time, that's what the voice of deception will do every time. He will cause you to want something and get it out of time. Are you with me? Okay. He finally came to his senses when the revelation of his loss was due to his desires. Did you hear that? He kind of came to his senses when the revelation of all that he had was lost. And it was due to his desire. He offended heaven and his father. But I thank God he came to repentance, didn't he? Amen. But he had lost everything, didn't he? See, because while he was positioning, treasures were being built. But the enemy convinced him, the voice of the stranger convinced him to take all of what was due to him and go out and venture out. Come on, he probably figured, well, listen, I can invest this. I can do that. Yeah. I must be led by the Spirit. Yeah. I can say, yeah. Okay, yeah. It's time to go, man. Praise God. Yeah, I got it now. I'll just take these goods and I'll invest it here and I'll do a Bible study there and I'll do this here and I'll just do all kinds of great things for God. Problem is God ain't with you. Hello. Yeah, man, I'm going to build me an empire. Not a kingdom. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Amen. He fell flat on his face, didn't he? Everything he had was lost, right? Everything. Because he went by a desire that was led by an impression that was imparted by a voice of a spirit of deception. Go to Romans 7. Yes. That anxious spirit always tries to get people out of position. Yeah. yes, I could have sworn. Yeah, man, the Lord told me this. I'm telling you, I know it, I know it, and I know it. I got a witness in me. I got everything in me. Yeah, that's the problem. I got a witness that you got everything in you too. Romans 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. There, hallelujah. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil, what? Desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, he didn't notice sin was there until the law came. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. So, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. The governor reveals or convicts wrong desires. But emotions will cloud conviction. Say it with me. Emotions cloud conviction. So when you're doing the wrong thing and believing that you're being led, you are clouded now because you can't sense the conviction. Pride will blind discernment. Knowledge will puff us up, won't it? Evil desires are contrary to the king desires. Say it with me. Evil desires are contrary to the king's desires. Go to Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Glorious. Gloriorios. Galatians 5:16. Would you read it with me? 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish or that you desire. Amen? So the only way, now positioning here, now we understand is walking in the Spirit then, isn't it? Now there are times when you can be led right out of the Spirit into the flesh and believe you're being led by the Spirit. Because you're led by an emotion. Did you ever start something and realize it wasn't God? Man, you're all psyched up about it. Yeah, this is God. Let's get going and do it, do it, do it. 2 days later, you're like, ugh. Man, maybe that wasn't God. Probably wasn't. That's when you repent and get back in position. 1 Corinthians 2. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's how you have to discern things. Because even though you may receive something spiritual, and it may seem like it's God, you must be able to discern what that spiritual thing is of God or not. Because if that spiritual thing that's given to you is not in God's timing, it's not God. Hello. Yes, it's time for me to go start a ministry. Well, you haven't been faithful in the little. If you haven't been successful in the little thing, you are not ready for the next thing. Are you with me? If you are not successful in the little thing, God is not going to promote you to the next thing. It's impossible. In fact, if you're crying out for God's perfect will, eventually He'll allow you to be successful in the wrong assignment. If there's an area, this is what you want to do. That's why we must step back from all things and wait on God. Instead of being led by need, instead of being led by want, instead of being led by emotion or pleasing of man or self-ambitions. Amen? Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians, did we read this? Okay, in verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually what? Discerned. That's why you have a governor. He is going to assist in discerning or interpreting what we're to be doing. He's going to enforce the word of God, the word from God. He will enforce it. He will bring you revelation. He'll bring you witness. Now, we know God speaks to us in many ways, doesn't He? Comparing spiritual things. They may be the spiritualist, spiritual thing, but are they the desire for you now? Are they what God wants you to have now? So many times there's things that come, but God is not telling you now. You know, we may ask God, oh Lord, why am I going through what am I going through? And He may show you something about you, and then He may show you something about what's coming. The thing is then people jump right from where they are into what's coming. When they haven't been successful in the little thing God has for them, and then they jump to the next thing, and it's not God anymore. Now they're working in the flesh. Now they're no longer building treasures in heaven. Now they may be building treasures in their pocket, but they're not building treasures in heaven. Hello? Ooh. Now listen. He will not interpret, or He will not interrupt Himself or put a burden, shame, guilt, or condemnation, fear, or offense. Those are all fruits of being out of position. Are you with me? All the fruits of the flesh are associated with being out of position. Go to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. You know, there are things when... if you remember in Deuteronomy, when the king of Judah was in trouble and he caused everyone to come together and fast and pray, and God sent a prophet to him and told him. Why? Because he sought the kingdom, didn't he? He did not call his best friend or whatever, you know what I'm saying? He did not move out of position. He stayed in position and he prayed and he waited. And then God sent a prophet to him and they spoke. And the prophet, the word of God, was enforced so that the king just had to get in position, and they ended up defeating their enemies, and because they were surrounded all around. There was no way physically or naturally could they have won that battle. But the battle became the Lord's. Amen? And so many times when things are happening, you know, that one of the things the Lord says is, well, you didn't seek my counsel. You did this on your own. Amen? Let me tell you something. Sometimes just saying, oh, Lord, this is something I'd like to do, and if it's you, please show me. And then people go out and do it. Well, if it wasn't God, it would shut down. No, it wouldn't. Hello? Oh, Lord, you're good. Thank you. They're gone. Yeah, I prayed about it all night. Had popcorn, watched TV, I laid it before the Lord and went to sleep. Hallelujah. Numbers 11, verse 18. Now the Lord was telling Moses what he was to say to the people. He said, then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat and you shall eat. So the people were whining that they didn't have meat. And they were saying, man, it was better to be back in Egypt in bondage. And he says this in verse 19. He says, you shall eat meat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days. But for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils. Those were people. Now listen. It was a craving spirit or a spirit of want. He said, you want it? I'll give it to you. It's going to come out your nose. And it won't be a miracle. But for a whole month until it comes out your nostrils, because loathsome to you. Because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and you have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? And Moses said to the people, whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Now Moses was questioning the Lord. Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. In 31. Now a wind went out from the Lord. From where?
The Lord.
Yeah, that's my dad. And it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp. About a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day and gathered quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. Boy, they were happy. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Want, I'm going to give you all you need till it comes pouring out of your eyeballs. Then I'm going to kill you. Do you understand? That desire, the grumbling and the complaining, pushed them right out of position, and God was furious. Why? Because it wasn't the Lord. Are you with me? I want to give a couple examples. It's always been on my heart to help the poor. That was something that was on my heart. But it wasn't God's time. Then we got invited to a place to, once a month, to feed. To do a service. To reach out to the poor. Cool. Now, we did not gather everybody to start going to corner, did we? Because we were not led to. But see, sometimes somebody will take that and go, yeah, man, we need to start in the streets now. But it wasn't God. Why? Because God will bring it to you. You're to plant seed and you're to be obedient. And then you wait. And the next thing we know, we go to an outreach that we were invited to, and something occurred. In other words, God caused a scatter. And so that day, I left, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I just rolled it to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. And the next thing we found out that the people were locked out of their place. And the Lord quickened me and said, do you remember you said you'd do whatever I asked you to do? And I said, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to open the sanctuary and start and invite them. And they came out and looked, and it was a real witness to them. And then the Lord said, remember the movie. And I said, cool. Okay, we'll do a movie every other week. And then when we went to do the, before we did the first movie, I think it was, or we did the Lord said, no, I want it every week. I want these doors open as much as possible for my people. Now, has it been successful? Yes. Now, success is not associated with amount of money or numbers. Come on. Sometimes success is just waiting. Why? Because success is God dealing with you first. Because if you don't allow him to deal with you, you got no right dealing with anybody else. Do you understand that? That's where the enemy always tries to get you to move out of position when God ain't done dealing with you. Hello? Because success is total freedom. Amen? To be free is the greatest success that we could be. Amen? Why? Because then we're ready in season and out. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if you got it, but I pray so. The spirit of craving or the spirit of want brought the wrath of God on individuals. You know how many people nag the Lord? Oh, Lord, you know I need this. I don't want to sit next to somebody that's praying like that. I never know what's going to happen. And I want that plague on me. Or that Holy Ghost baseball bat just come from the spirit realm to the natural and go, home run. Go to Psalm 37. Hallelujah. Psalm 37. Glorious. In verse 1, it says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. What does it say? Verse 3. Read it with me. Trust in the Lord and do what? Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart because they'll be His desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will what? He's going to what? Bring it to bed. Don't envy. Trust and do good. What does it mean by doing good? In other words, if you're trusting, you're doing good. What are you doing? You're submitting to a ruling authority. You're resisting the devil. You are feeding on him and not your own authority or your own abilities. Hello? Or your own desires. You're not feeding on your own ministries or your own successes or your own knowledge. You're feeding on his goodness. You're feeding on his faithfulness. There's a difference. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. What's the delight, wait, surrender, adore, yield? Give your desires to him. Amen? Commit your ways. Give your desires to him and trust. Don't move ahead. Don't move ahead. Go to James 4. Hallelujah. A couple more scriptures. So just hang tough and die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Desires for pleasure that war in your what? Members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Well, you ask and don't receive because you ask for the wrong stuff. That you may spend it on your self-ambitions. Oh, Lord, I need this. You know, God always places us in an area where we can have counsel, where we can have confirmation, where we can have witness. You know, for those of us who are married, God always, he'll quicken your spouse. He'll quicken your spouse, as long as your spouse is in position. Hello? If your spouse ain't in position, forget it. Are you with me? Amen. So your spouse better be in position. That'd be like Samuel showing up with a cigar and a bottle of wine saying, I got a word from the Lord, right? You wouldn't receive it, I hope. Oh, yes, dear. Soulish ministry. Promotes soulless ministry. But if your spouse is in position, there will be a witness between you. There will be a confirmation between you. There won't be division between you. It will be the same. Because why? God puts us together to complement, doesn't he? To complement the anointing. He puts brothers and sisters together in households and so forth and ministries so that everyone can complement the purpose of what God has placed in that ministry. Amen. Amen. There won't be division. And if there is division, then there's something wrong with you. Amen. You're not hearing God's voice. You're hearing your own voice of ambitions. You're hearing the voice of the stranger, and it's not my governor. Because the governor's always promoting the kingdom, but the kingdom within you first. Amen? Okie dokie. Everybody all right? Amen. Good, let's go to the next one. Hallelujah. Now listen, we must stay in position to hear the governor, right? Okay, can we go a little further? He says, you ask and don't get it because you spend it on your own selfish ambitions. He calls them adulterers, adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Well, wait a minute, I'm not a friend with the world. Yes, you are. If you're listening to the voice of deception and the voice of the stranger, you're becoming a friend of the world. Amen. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. No, it's not God your enemy, you're his enemy. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So you must walk in a humble heart. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he's going to what? Flee from you. So we must stay in position to hear the governor with a humble heart, not pride. We must submit to the ruling authority. We must assemble according to the word of God. These are the things that the governor is enforcing, isn't he? Does he enforce tithing? Yes. Assembling? Yes. Does he enforce forgiveness? Yes. He enforces you in your fellowship to be good stewards, faithful, responsible, accountable, dependable. He causes us to complete vows, to wait on the Lord, to obey his voice. Amen. He exposes, he convicts. Those are things that keep you in position so that you can hear the governor's voice. Amen. Go to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Are you sure? Beloved, do not believe every what? Spirit. Or every voice. Or every impression. Or every ambition. Or every emotion. Amen? Don't believe it. What does he say? Whether they are, but what? Test them, men. Test them. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, or many false voices. You're going to test them. What are you going to do? You're going to check them. You're going to let somebody know. You're going to get counsel. You're going to find out. You're going to wait. You're going to lay a fleece. You want confirmation that it's of God. If it's not of God, you're to test it. Sometimes you got to plant a seed in it and check it out. Amen? Sometimes you don't know what job to get yet. And you're waiting on the Lord. And sometimes God isn't going to tell you exactly what's what. Because he's expecting you to trust him. And he'll say to you, why don't you go out and send, put some seeds out? But he didn't tell you to take it. He said, put seeds out. And then wait. I've had people call me, come in for counsel, and they've planted seeds and whatever, and they got, and somebody wanted to hire them somewhere, and I had a witness in my spirit. No, you're not supposed to work there. You're not supposed to work there. You're supposed to come and wait on God. See, but people want to be motivated and led by money and think, oh, God's going to bless me. Yes. Yeah, it must be God. I know he's trying to bless me. Of course he is. But the first thing he wants to bless you with is the governor. Because if you can't be led by the governor, you'll always be led by everything else. And you'll fall in deception every time. You'll always be in want, 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 and want. See, if you're always in want, then you know you're not being led by the governor. You know it. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further. But this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is what? Greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. And the world what?
Hears them.
We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of what? Truth and error. See, now, the governor will protect you from the spirit of error if you're in position to hear. Amen? It doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. Amen? Man, I remember one time, Lissy was real, my daughter was very young, and she was just starting to crawl. I mean, starting to walk, and she was holding on to things, you know. They'd get up, and they'd lean forward and run to the refrigerator and hold on to it, and then they'd follow it like this. And I didn't know she was there. And I was going out into the garage, and the garage doors are pretty heavy. And when I opened the garage door, and I was about to close the garage door because I didn't want anything to come, and I was almost like I heard the voice of the Lord say, Lissy or Alyssa. In other words, daughter. I don't know exactly what was what. But I was quickened, and I thought, whoa. And then I saw her fingers. I didn't see her, but I saw her fingers in the spirit, in the area where if I would have shut the door, they would have cut them right off. And man, that would have tore me up more than anything. And I turned around and I grabbed the door real quick. I didn't even look for her. I just turned around and grabbed the door very quick. And there she was with her fingers right there. Because it was in the part of the door where it would just cut them right off. And I thanked the Lord. I'm telling you, I thanked the Lord so much. I thanked him. Because it would have tore me up, man. Tore me up. Everybody get it? That's why we're to stay in position, right? Hallelujah. So we're to test the spirits or test the voices. But if we're not abiding under the governing law or in position, we won't hear, will we? Listen, I want to give you an example of position. Moses was in position. What happened? He saw the fiery bush, didn't he? Then he heard Moses. Right? Man, check that out. He walked over there. There was a fiery bush, and the Lord said, come on in. So he had to get in position to hear God's voice. You must get in position to hear God's voice. Amen? Now, we have felt his conviction without position. Amen? But sometimes we have ignored it or covered it because it was cloudy. Moses saw the bush, and the Lord revealed his plan and positioned him. Those whom Jesus received and rejected, hello? In other words, many people received and rejected Jesus, didn't they? But they were in position to receive, weren't they? See, but you still have the choice, even when you're in position, to receive or reject the voice of the Lord or the governor of the kingdom. Are you in position tonight? Yes. So everyone in this room has a choice to receive or reject the voice of the governor. Amen? Now, there are things that you're dealing with right now. And there are things where there's confusion. There's things that you don't know. And you're waiting. Amen? And you're to wait. But there's another area which we're to do. We're to seek the kingdom of God first. Why? Because God is dealing with you more than anything. Listen, he's not interested in what you can do for him. He is not interested in what you can do for him. If your interest is what you can do for God, then you are not in position. Because your interest should be, what can God do through you? And unless you are empty, with no self-ambitions, and you are in position, you can't be used. Are you with me? Look at how Jesus. How did, when the devil came to Jesus, what did he say? If you are the Son of God. What did he do? He put reason, didn't he? If you are the Son of God. He always put a reason in there. The enemy always tried to cause you to compete with somebody else. Come on, do you understand that? He'll always try to cause you to compete with somebody else. He'll always try to cause you to look at what God is doing with somebody else. He will try to push you instead of lead you. Amen? He challenges you with reason. Eve was challenged with reason. Amen? Again, if you're faithful a little, you get more. You must be successful in a little part before you go to the next part. He doesn't promote you until that happens. Amen? And you will have that witness within. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, the Bible says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Wow. Well, how are you going to walk in the gifts if you can't hear the governor? Because he's the distributor of the gift. Amen? And that's so essential in operating in the kingdom of God. Or expanding the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, go to Numbers 12, and I'm going to close here. Now, God will speak to us sometimes in a still, small voice, won't he? He'll speak to us through dreams and visions. He'll speak to us through revelation knowledge, through a teaching. But there must be a witness. And the witness must be within you or a confirmation. And when you are uncertain, you don't do. You just plant. Did you hear that? When you are uncertain, you don't do. You just plant. You wait. And you plant. And you get confirmation. You get counsel. You get witness. There's nothing wrong with calling somebody or whatever. You lay it before the Lord and you ask somebody, you can call someone to pray with them. Listen, man, there's something I'm going through right now and I'm waiting on God. Would you please lift it up in prayer? Amen? But too many move by emotion. They move by self-ambition. They believe it's God and it's not. In Numbers 12, is everybody there? Okay, I'll get there in a second. Are y'all all right? Did you get it? Did you learn? Numbers 12, verse 1. Sounds good. Numbers 12, verse 1. Is everybody there? Come on, aren't you there yet? Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? Well, he did, didn't he? Amen. Miriam was a prophetess, right? Aaron was a priest and a prophet. And he spoke through both of them. But it was the attitude, wasn't it? And the Lord, so they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it, didn't he? Now the man, Moses, was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down on a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. And he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. I speak with him face to face. Even plainly, not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when a cloud departed from above them, the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of her mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Does everybody understand that So God's going to speak to us in many ways, isn't he? But the whole thing is you can't just be moved by what you believe is God's voice. You must know it's God's voice. Amen. The governor is always on your side. He is the enforcer of the word of God. And if you are uncertain, then test the spirit. Test the voice you heard. Test it. Do not move out unless you have tested it. Whether it's through counsel, through witness, through whatever it is, however you're choosing or however the Lord's leading you to test it, test it. Wait. You know how many people get married without testing the Spirit? You know how many people purchase things without testing the Spirit? You know how many people get in debt without testing the Spirit? You know how many people get in trouble without testing the Spirit? Hello? The governor will guide you and assist you in every area of your life so that kingdom living and the kingdom of heaven can be established in you on this earth. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for your word and we are honored and blessed, Lord. Lord, let this seed be protected by the blood and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. I pray that the sermon would be imparted in each and every one here tonight. And Holy Spirit, every time we have grieved you and moved out of position on our own self-ambitions, we repent and ask for your forgiveness. Every time we have wasted money and purchased things we shouldn't have purchased, we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, everything that the devil has stolen from us, now we command him in the name of Jesus to return to us sevenfold. In Jesus' name. And Father, we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said...